If you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 71. And as you're turning up there, let me just remind the folks who are going to be baptized to meet next Lord's Day evening. After the evening service, there are some special details that have to be given out at that time. So remember that next Sunday evening for those folks. And again, as the pastor stated, that if you feel burdened of the Lord to obey the Lord in this matter, you need to speak to the pastor before next Lord's Day morning about that matter. Psalm 71. And the first verse. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My prey shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise, and with Thine honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hath done great things. O God, who is like unto Thee? Thou which hath showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery and even Thy truth, O my God. Unto Thee will I sing with a harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, my soul which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. May the Lord bless the reading of His own precious word. And if you were here in our service this morning, you will know well that this is the same psalm that we read today. Let's seek the Lord now in prayer as we come to ask for His help in the ministry of His word tonight. Our eternal God, we rejoice for the blessing of being in the house of prayer. We thank Thee for the Lord's Day, for the special time we have enjoyed in Thy presence, for the encouragement that we drew from Thy Word this morning. And our Father, we come with great expectancy as we launch out into this new year, where our eyes, Lord, are upon Thee, and we wait upon the Lord. We would dare, O Father, to reach out with expectancy for what Thou art going to do. We pray that Thou wilt help us, for we are a people weak in ourselves. We have no strength nor might, but our eyes, Lord, are upon Thee. And our prayer is that we would be quickened and strengthened. We would know the victory in those areas that the devil often finds our greatest weakness. Help us, we pray, to go forward, conquering and to conquer. For Thou hast promised that we are made more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Father, we thank Thee for that great promise. If God be for us, who can be against us? Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of Thy might. So, our Father, bless us now for the remaining moments of this service. Give us the stillness and the solemnity of heaven and of eternity. And help us to drink in and to settle ourselves in the Word of the Lord tonight. Help us, we pray, to rejoice in the goodness of God to us. Father, I pray that Thou wilt help me now and fill me with Thy Spirit to speak clearly the words of the Lord, so that no one would misunderstand, no one would be confused, and those who are here without the knowledge of Christ, that their hearts would be touched and quickened by the Holy Spirit. Lord, take Thy Word and bless it to every heart. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Most people who come into the world see the changes of days and of weeks and months. Some people see the changes of centuries, and a narrow field see the change of the millennium. If you have lived for the past 6 years, you have witnessed all of the above. The opening of a new year is one of those start over times that the Lord gives to us. The retiring of the old year and the entrance of the new is necessarily one that brings with it reflection, and it also brings prospect. We think over the events that have taken place, and then we look forward to what the new year will bring. For the non-Christian or the unbeliever, they are so much abandoned to chance. For there is no real consideration of the Almighty or the superintendence of God that oversees all the affairs of men. And so therefore they depend for the New Year's prospect upon their own ability, or upon luck, or upon the positioning of the stars, or upon something they will call fate. However, that is to be explained. And yet for the true believer in Christ, there is a blessed assurance. And we sang that hymn tonight, the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And if you know the Lord here tonight, then you also can rejoice in that blessed assurance. But the blessed assurance that we're speaking about goes beyond that. It is a trust in the sovereign God. It is a trust in the Lord who has made all things from nothing. It is a trust in a God who purposes whatsoever comes to pass. And He is one that is in control, and He has not lost control over the world. But the Lord is unfolding day by day, week by week, and month by month. The Lord is unfolding His eternal decree and His great purposes. And this to the believer gives us a confidence that in the face of certain disaster or in the face of uncertainty, we have a confidence and a trust and a reliance upon the God who is never changing. This confidence and trust baffles people who are in the world. They don't understand what gives to a person such confidence. But tonight, as we are looking into the face of a new year, with such confidence as this, and this knowledge, it gives us an encouragement and a fortitude to go forward. To go forward, and something, as the Apostle Paul said, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to turn your attention this night to verses 14 to 16 of this psalm, but specifically focusing on the opening words of the 16th verse. For the psalmist said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will go, or I will go on, in the strength of the Lord God. And I trust that tonight, as we look at these verses, the Lord will challenge and encourage you to set your direction as we face this new year. The first thing I want you to understand from this text is the set direction to be taken, and that is forward. For the psalmist said, I will go, or I will go on. Now, no one would consider coming into a new year and going backward. No one would think about intentionally repeating the same blunders of last year. We would want to put those things behind us. We want to go forward and to forget those hindrances. Now, there are so many reasons, though, why going forward would be a difficult thing. Because the memory of those things and those failures of last year are so prevalent in our minds. They're so much in the forefront that sometimes they defeat us before we even get started. And so we may think that we cannot go forward because the way is too hard. We cannot go forward because the enemy is too strong. We can't go forward because the strength that we have is insufficient of ourselves. There are many things that we can learn from our mistakes. Namely, that we do not want to foolishly repeat and redo the same things, going backward and adding more shame and more misery to the things that we have done. No, there is something here in this text. There is a determination. There is a set direction. I'm going to go forward for the Lord. And in this, I believe we can see in these words, there is an intention. There is an intention. I will go. David in the Psalms often used these bold statements, saying, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will go on with God. David made these statements, and he purposed in his heart to go through with the Lord. I wonder, my friends, if you have commenced this new year, have you made such a determination? Have you made such an intention with your own heart before God, saying, I'm determined to go on with God no matter what? I'm determined to go through with the Lord. God told Moses to speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And God told Moses to make such a statement to them when they were facing an obstacle that was so great that they could not overcome it by themselves. They were standing at the brink of the Red Sea. And at that point in time, it had not divided. He spoke to them about going forward. Paul reminds the Hebrew Christians that they were to go on unto perfection, not laying again a previous foundation that had been laid. Let us, therefore, go on and go forward. You've heard the story of Daniel many times, of how he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Daniel had been a prisoner in Babylon with his three friends. And the scriptures tell us that though they were provided with all the luxuries and all of the food and all of the wine that they would take and could drink, they would not go against that purpose of the Lord to serve Him and not to defile themselves. They determined they were going to go forward. There was an intention in these words. And I believe, my friends, that you and I also need to have this intention in our heart as we commence this new year. But to add to this intention, there has to be something else. There has to be a conviction. Because an intention without conviction will soon fizzle out. We see that repeated so many times with resolutions that are made at the New Year occasion, and they don't last very long. Because an intention all alone and just by itself is something that is relatively empty. And if it's not going to be based on a conviction, well, it's going to be something empty. You've all heard that saying that the road of life is paved with good intentions. People thinking, oh, I hope one day I'm going to do this. I hope one day down the future I'm going to do this. And they pave the whole road in front of them with good intentions, but they never accomplish the thing that they're intending to do. That is because the intention is not backed up with the conviction. Now, a conviction is a firmly held belief. Now, we also know that convictions can be wrong, and just because a person holds something firmly does not mean that it's right. Most politicians hold the conviction that whatever it is that will get them a vote is presently their conviction. But that always changes. The true conviction is something that is not going to be contingent upon a circumstance. If you have a conviction in your heart about the Word of God and about the things that the Lord tells us in His Word, those convictions are not going to be changed by the circumstance you find yourself in. The world talks about something that is situational ethics, that you modify your behavior according to the circumstance you find yourself in. This should never be the philosophy of a Christian. But we must have the conviction that is based upon the Word of God. The area of convictions is one that must be hammered out from the Scripture itself. And there will be a word here for both parents and children, because young people grow up in a home and they are growing up constrained to live by the convictions of their parents. But young people, as you grow in your own life, if the convictions that your parents have in the Word of God do not become your personal convictions, they really will not affect your life very much. Apart from the fact for you either to despise them or simply ignore them and wander away. No, there is need for young people to come in their own life to convictions that are founded upon the Scripture, and they are reasoned out, they are worked through themselves by the Lord. I wonder, do you have a conviction tonight about going forward with the Lord Jesus Christ as you have commenced this year? There's something else in these verses, and it is not just the set direction of having an intention to go forward or a conviction, but there has to be some more substance to that. And it is the goal that you're going to aim for. Notice, please, with me in verse 14. It says, "But I will hope continually." But I will hope continually. If you compare that with verse 5, a little bit farther up in the chapter, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Thou art my hope. I'd like you to turn back with me for a moment, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 4. The book of Romans, chapter 4. Verse 18, it's speaking about Abraham that says, "Who, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he, that is God, had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Come back with me for a moment to the 18th verse. We're told of Abraham that he, against hope, believed in hope. What does that mean? Who against hope? When there was no ground for hope that appeared to him on the surface. There was no reasonable ground for his hope to be based on apart from the promise of the Lord that his seed shall become the ground that Messiah would come through and all families or nations of the world would be blessed. So it says, who against hope or against any ground of appearance of hope, he believed in hope. That is, he cherished the believing expectation. Matthew Poole, the commentator, said this. He said, "Who against hope believed in hope? Abraham, when he had no natural or rational grounds of hope, either in respect of himself or of Sarah, his wife, did yet believe and hope he should have a son, and so be a root or a stock from whence many nations should spring. And this faith and hope of his was grounded upon the power and faithfulness of God's own precious word." Another commentator also, the name was John Trapp, wrote something very interesting. He said about him believing in hope. He said, "It is the nature of faith to believe God upon His bare word, and that against sense in things invisible, against reason in things incredible. Sense corrects imagination. Reason corrects sense, but faith corrects both. It will not be, says sense. It cannot be, says reason. It both can and will be, says faith. For I have a promise for it." My friends, as we launch out into this new year, we want to step forward, but we're stepping forward hoping in the Lord and in His Word. And so as the psalmist said here, "I will hope continually. I will hope based upon the promise of God's own precious Word." We have nothing else that we can base our hope on. The Lord is so good to us. As we set ourselves and set our direction and set our focus upon this new year, let us do so with renewed conviction that our hope is grounded upon the Word of the Lord that cannot change, that will endure unto the end. "I am the Lord, I change not. And the Lord who has exalted His Word above all His name gives us that revelation of the Lord to be confident and to trust in." But it goes on even farther. The second half of the 14th verse speaks about praising God. For He says, "I will yet praise Thee more and more." I will yet praise Thee more and more. The word praise here appears about 57 times in the Old Testament. It comes from the root of hallel. We get our word hallelujah from that word praise. Look at Psalm 71 and the 8th verse. For the psalmist said, "Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thine honor all the day." How do we praise God? We praise God by our speaking, but we also praise God by our singing. There are two aspects in which we praise God. Hebrews 13 and 15 tells us, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Psalm 100 and verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." The same word. "Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Psalm 106 and the 12th verse, "Then believed they His words and sang His praise." The Lord has given to us so much cause, so much reason for us to praise Him, so much reason to give thanks for what He has done for us. And when we are praising God, either with our speech or with our song or in prayer, the devil is not so easily able to divert our attention. He is not so able to tempt us, bring us into some trial. Do you enter into the gates and the courts of the Lord with praise? Do you worship and praise God every day of your life? Do you praise the Lord in your prayer as you awake first thing in the morning? Is it the last thing that you do before your eyes close in sleep? The Scriptures overflow with the people of the Lord that have a right to shout and to sing. We of any people have a right to praise God. And it is a privilege that we've been given. For the God of heaven has revealed Himself to us. The secret of the Lord has been made known to we, His people. And He invites us to praise Him. He invites us to come into His presence with joy and thanksgiving. But how do we avail ourselves of that? Let us therefore go forward in this new year with these words upon our lips. I will go forward and hope continually. I will go forward and praise the Lord with my heart. But there's something further. Let us go forward, as the 15th verse says, and proclaim. For my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. The word show forth in the 15th verse, it means to recount, to rehearse, or to declare. In Isaiah 43 and verse 10, the Lord states that we are His witnesses. We are His witnesses. But immediately someone will think and say, but I cannot witness for God, for I am not able. I do not have the knowledge. I do not have the ability. I'd like you to turn with me for a moment to Jeremiah in the first chapter. This is an important portion of the Word of God, because the Lord was speaking to His servant Jeremiah. And in verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord is telling His servant that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He says to him, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. So here is God laying out before His servant some strong secrets about God's omniscience, about His foreknowledge, about the planning and sovereign decree of the Lord for the life of this man, Jeremiah. And the Lord has said, before you are even thought of, I knew you. Before you were formed and conceived in the womb, I knew of you. And I ordained and sanctified you. And I called you to be a prophet. And now look at the response of the servant in the 6th verse. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold. Really he's saying, look here, Lord. I cannot speak, for I am a child. After being told what he was told by the Lord right then and there, you're a prophet before you are even formed. And yet he said, but you must have the wrong person. I cannot speak. Look here, Lord. Is there anyone here tonight saying the same words to God? I cannot do that. That's not for me. Lord, you must be calling someone else. That's not a word for me. I cannot go forward and proclaim thy word. I cannot go and show forth the righteousness of the Lord, for I am unable. Ah, my friends, let us not be so foolish. For the Lord went on to say in the 7th verse of that chapter to Jeremiah, the Lord said, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Why, Jeremiah? Because God said, you are going to be a witness for me. And as we move into the New Testament, we come to Acts 1 and verse 8, and we find that the Lord is saying to His disciples and to all of those whom He has called, but you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The children of God, the people of God, are to be His witnesses. We are His mouthpiece. And we are to take His word. We are to show forth His righteousness to an ungodly world. Now we will show forth the Lord's righteousness by our speech. We will show it forth by our life, by our testimony, by our actions. Are you going forward, hoping in the Lord's word, praising God for all He has done for you, proclaiming His greatness? There's something very solemn here at the end of the 15th verse. There is a reason why we should be going forward in such a way. Because the writer has to say, "For I know not the numbers thereof." He's talking about the days of his life. I don't know the numbers of them. I don't know what this year will bring forward to me. I don't know how many days of life or breath that God has extended to me. But my friends, there is an appointment that all of us in this church have to meet God. There is a day that He has set from before the foundation of the world. Will your day be in 2006? There is a strong reason, therefore, why we should determine with all of our heart and soul and mind to go forward with the Lord and to serve Him. For our days are numbered and we do not know how much we have left. But now I want to show you the second part of the message taken from the 16th verse of Psalm 71. For He said, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." The Lord was not calling His servant to step out by positive thinking. He wasn't telling him to step out by his own initiative, by his own wisdom or intellect, by his own power. For we know how empty and worthless and hopeless it would be for us just to start out this year and say, "Oh, I'm going to go forward and I'll determine to do it by my strength." We will fail. We will fail miserably. But the confidence that we have is that the source of our strength is the Lord God Himself. And you notice in this expression, the word "Lord" is in smaller or lowercase letters, and the word "God" is capitalized. When you see either "God" or "Lord" capitalized, it is the word "Jehovah." And so, what He is saying here, "I will go forward in the strength of Adonai Jehovah, the Lord God, the living, the covenant-keeping God. We will go forward in His strength." It's not in our own strength. Knowing that our heart will often be turned away and our heart is very weak. But as we face this year, depending on the strength that the Lord gives us, it will provide for us a resignation to go on to greater heights of blessing with the Lord. It will give to us a reaffirmation of strongly held convictions in the Word of God and not to allow the devil to undermine those things in our minds. And having this strength will give to us a rejection of the old ways and the old manners and the bad ways that have hindered our progress. My friends, there is here for the child of God a special strength that the Lord gives. There is something here that the child of God knows that no one else knows anything about. This strength that God has promised is for you and for me if you are a Christian tonight. It is a special strength. It is a strength that the Lord has promised to give to us. Let us therefore appropriate the promises of God, and let us lay hold upon these things and take them to ourselves, and step out upon the promise of God and rest upon His strength. It is a special strength. And this strength is also supplied to us through the finished work of Christ. For all that the Lord Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross, He has accomplished it by His own merit. And the strength that you and I will have to go on this year is already purchased for us through the finished atoning work of Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us live in that finished work. Let us stand in that work that the Lord has done for us. Let us live each day in it, for it is a strong work that He has done. And my friends, the strength that Christ has accomplished for us and gives to us, it is a sufficient strength, sufficient for every challenge. What thing is it, my friend, that's challenging you as you start out on this year? What thing is it that's presenting itself as a mountain that you think you may not be able to get over? There is sufficiency in the strength of the Lord to meet every challenge. I will go forward in the strength of the Lord God of heaven. I trust that the Lord would encourage our hearts tonight by His truth, and that we would be strengthened in our own souls. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer.